Never look at your city or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman with Joe Hagman together, or something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. So much news to get into. Of course, the news out of Baton Rouge, the news from Dallas. You've got two shooters in a war against the police, and a war waged by an amalgamation of the Nation of Islam, Islam, Black Lives Matter, under that umbrella. Of course, under the larger umbrella of the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, FRSO. It's a Marxist-Leninist initiative. We've got that to cover. And, of course, we've got people like Keith Ellison, Andre Carson, two lawmakers in Washington who are Muslim. What's taking place there? And if you notice the footage, if you watched any of the footage about Baton Rouge, it was interesting that on Sunday afternoon, you had a press conference that was held with multiple federal and local agencies. Did you notice the sheriff got up and was talking about, well, he uttered the Pledge of Allegiance, the last part of the Pledge of Allegiance that contained the words of one nation under God. And he said that. And today you had a member of the FBI up there saying something about seven words of the Pledge of Allegiance and omitted the phrase under God. Now, you might not think that's important. It's extremely important, folks, because what you're seeing here is the move away from God, taking God completely out of the picture, being expunged, just like at a federal level, which is now, of course, being broadcast over the media, but much like God has been expunged from our textbooks and our schools and everything. However, in this case, to see this happen in real time, you take notice of these things. And this is one of the reasons I'm just absolutely convinced that the media is facilitating this race war, which has been started, orchestrated, and really started on the dry timber that Obama, Jared, and even Hillary Clinton and the Clintons before as well, and Bush has got to take some responsibility for this as well, this dried tinder that is America. Mm-hmm. And talking about Keith Ellison, of course, we're going to be talking about more about Black Lives Matter, FRSO, Nation of Islam. Yes, we have to talk about that. More about the war against police officers and how Obama has left this nation bloodied black and blue, all words of extreme importance. That's bloodied mm-hmm. black and blue. That's Obama's legacy. There will be more attacks on police, more ambushes. Watch for that. And as I said before, please, if you do nothing else, do not make this a hollow gesture. Certainly tell a police officer. In fact, if you're in line ahead of a police officer in a I'll say a coffee shop, a Dunkin' Donuts or Tim Hortons, but buy his coffee for him or whatever he might be ordering. Do something for a police officer to show that you care, because we can make the difference here. And it's the sheriff yesterday said something. I think he said it today in Baton Rouge. He said the hearts of men. This is not about gun control. It has nothing to do with guns. It's about what's in the hearts of men and what's being placed in the hearts of men by Obama and others, by these Marxist-Leninist Luciferians, is in fact the cause of this violence.
Yes, it is. And we're going to get into some of what the Clinton and Obama rhetoric was in relation to the latest round of these police ambushes. But first, we want to bring you a quick word from Hear the Watchman. Folks, there is a conference coming up Friday, September 30th through October the 2nd, Sunday, in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hear the Watchman in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were at the Hear the Watchman in Dallas. It was a fantastic event. This coming Hear the Watchman conference in Knoxville, you're going to hear speakers like Pastor Paul Begley, who I was on Pastor Paul Begley's show today, and we got something coming up with him we'll talk about here shortly. But also Pastor David Langford, Paul McGuire, Josh Tolley, who you just heard in the last hour on our show, L.A. Marzulli, Michael Bodea, Russ Dizdar, and many more. And folks, go to hearthewatchman.com. If you order your book by tomorrow, you can get a free, if you order your tickets by tomorrow, you can get a free copy of Paul McGuire's book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And tickets are, for the next 2 weeks, are at a $99 rate, after which they will go to $139 or $149. But right now they're $99 for the next 2 weeks. Go to hearthewatchman.com. It's in Knoxville, Tennessee, September 30th through October 2nd. If you have the opportunity to go, you're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a fantastic conference, just like it was in Dallas.
Indeed. And as you said, we're going to be... one thing, folks, we're going to be on Paul Begley's television program. We're going to be going out next week for the taping of that program, two different sessions. Please go to Pastor Paul Begley's website.
Yeah, PaulBegleyProphecy.com.
Right.
If you go on his website, PaulBegleyProphecy.com, there is TV and radio. It's a section right next to home. And there is also a widget. If you go down, you can... down at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to do the live, be a part of the audience at the live TV show, and all the information is there. It is a suburb just outside of Indianapolis. The filming will take place the 28th, that is Thursday. And again, go to PaulBegleyProphecy.com, and we are going to be taping two shows, and we will give out all the information, and you can find all the information of where to watch it at PaulBegleyProphecy.com.
We're going to be there, of
and it's
course.
Right on the left-hand side of his site. I'm sorry. It's WHBM 10511 Greenfield Avenue, Noblesville, Indiana. You can register now for free.
I really hope to anyone who lives in the area of Indianapolis, in that area, please join us on a week from this Thursday, whatever that date might be. Please join us at the studio. There's going to be a live studio audience there. There we'll have a meet and greet, but please do that. We'd love to meet you, love to shake your hand, love to sit and talk with you for a few minutes. But it's my understanding that the registration is going fast, so please register right away. And I hope to have something on our website that it's a one-click thing.
Yeah, we can put that up after the show.
Yeah. So look for it on HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com for the link after the show, hopefully, that we can just one click. But love to have you join us at the taping and after the taping and such at in Indianapolis. It'd be great to meet you, and there's a area there for meet and greet, so love to talk to you, have a cup of coffee with you.
Absolutely.
All good.
Before we get back to the police.
Go on.
Just to let people know on breaking news, there has been an attack in Germany.
Yep.
Where a man with an axe has attacked passengers on a German train in southern German state of Bavaria. Several people were critically wounded. At least, I think they said 20 people were.
Yeah. It is screaming Allahu Akbar, of course. You know, of course, they're going to have to figure out what the motive might be. Yeah, it's a train axe attack. Afghan teenage refugee. All right. In other words, an alien soldier, illegal alien soldier, shouting Allahu Akbar, goes on bloody rampage, hacking up passengers in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Angela Merkel, how you doing? How you liking that open door policy?
Yeah,
17-year-old Afghan entered Germany as a lone refugee. Of course, you know the. What would you call it? The bleeding heart liberals now who say, oh, this is all great. You know, we're all one population. No, we're not. The refugee problem. And look what happened in Nice. Look at this now. 17 years old from Afghanistan, entered Germany as a lone refugee. What horror. What horror of these Muslim alien invaders. They're here to conquer us. How many times do we have to really get into it and tell you they're here to conquer this civilization? And
that's
one of
their
planks.
Own words, yeah.
It's one of their planks. 14 passengers being treated for shock. Early reports have stated that he left at least 3 people fighting for their lives, a 4th with less than severe injuries. 17-year-old Afghan man who was a refugee to Germany. And as we're looking at this, it's, again, this is happening all throughout the West. And it is a destroy. It's a scorched earth policy that we're seeing. It is a tactic of the globalists to bring these people in and to allow this to happen. And we can overlay this, too, with what has happened in Baton Rouge, with what has happened in Dallas. Now, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. These weren't illegal aliens that had caused the deaths of the police officers in those two instances. However, you've got to understand what we're looking at is this unification of seemingly disparate groups, as I mentioned before, that are energizing, gaining energy off of each other, and it's open door, it's open season, and it's by Obama, Jarrett, and Ben Rhodes, and everyone else in that regime that's in the White House right now. So, and the Black Lives Matter, and I cannot stress this enough, because we are going to see this take place. I don't know whether Baltimore is going to be next in terms of police being ambushed.
And there's a reason you say that today.
Yes.
The highest ranking officer in the Freddie Gray case was found not guilty, or the judge decided there was no proof of any charges.
There's no proof of criminality.
Yeah.
It's not a crime not to buckle the individual in the prisoner in the back of the paddy wagon. However, if you look at the evidence, all right, the GPS in that wagon did not show any convulsive stops, starts, twists, or turns, anything at all that would cause the injuries to Freddie Gray.
I didn't see that GPS.
Yes. Well, it was in the testimony at that trial. Now, what bothered me about that is the fact that the prosecutor didn't seem too awfully interested in formulating or getting at the truth in this, basically just went through the motions, knowing almost as if that this was going to be, you know, a kind of a done deal. But when you look at the evidence outside of the prosecutorial behavior, when you look at the evidence, certainly you have a GPS, a system within the vehicle that's designed to tell whether, I mean, it gives you the speed, it gives you whether there was any hard braking or any fast accelerations, any hard turns, whatever it might be. This showed none of that during the trip, the transport of Freddie Gray. The evidence also showed that the officer used proper discretion because of the volatility at the scene to transport Gray from away from that location, which is why he didn't strap or put him in a seatbelt. And of course, you have the Al Sharptons and the Louis Farrakhans and the other people who represent many of these organizations saying that this, of course, is a travesty of justice and that they will seek revenge. This is what we're seeing today. This is the cause. And then you have Obama. You listen to his words. You watch what he says and how he says it. He is essentially throwing every law enforcement officer under the bus, and you could almost see it in the faces yesterday of the Baton Rouge brass. Now, I'm not talking about the mayor, and I'm not talking about the federal officers there. If you looked and watched the press conferences, the press conference, and then some of the discussions, some of the interviews, you could see the anguish, at least I could, in the police officers. You could see the fact that they felt that they were being thrown under the bus by Obama in this issue. Folks, this is what is taking place. Obama has and ever since the beer summit. How many people remember the beer summit? Where the Cambridge, and we mentioned this last week as well, where the Cambridge police officer arrested the professor when he locked himself out of his home. And of course, that Obama came out and said the officer acted stupidly, I believe were his words. And they had a beer summit.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, Obama has been very critical of the police. Now look, we know things happen. We know there are bad apples and every organization, even in this organization. I just have to look at Eric the tech. I see bad written all over him, and I got no response from him. Oh, okay, there he goes, he's chuckling. But no, but seriously, what we have is Obama making this environment, adding fuel to the dry timber that's on the ground.
Yeah, he is doing that, and his recent rhetoric is saying just as much. You know, he's saying that he came out and said that the police can make their job of being a cop a lot safer by admitting their failures. Now, I would agree that we have two sides to the judicial system when we deal with the police. You have the police and then you have the district attorneys. The district attorneys are separate from the police. The police make the arrests. They're supposed to gather the evidence, build the case, turn it over to the district attorneys, where they in turn decide, based on what the police give them, how to take the matter to court.
What charges to file.
And here it's being said in the Baltimore situation, where these police officers were put on trial, and now there have been four not guilty or innocent verdicts given. They say that this was due to the prosecution's lack of following proper protocols for evidence. They're saying that because these cases were rushed, that the verdicts, it was basically sloppy work on the district attorney's part and on the part of the prosecutors. Sloppy and rushed cases.
Oh.
But regardless, the community response to this, as you stated earlier, is not going to be pretty. And I don't know, did you see what Hillary Clinton said about joining a gang?
I saw it out of the context of the speech in which she
gave it. Right, me too. So I didn't see the speech either.
Right. Or exactly as she presented that, but yes.
But, you know, from Obama to Hillary Clinton, there is this, and Trump added this today, that it's not so much as what Obama's saying, it's his body language when he says it about these police shootings. And he does seem to take a, he's not pro-law enforcement. Even the Attorney General, the top law enforcement officer in this nation, is not backing up the police. Now, there's obvious discord between citizens and police, especially Black Lives Matter and police. There was a petition issued to the White House to label Black Lives Matter organization as a terrorist organization, and the White House responded by saying they do not make up or decide who is a terrorist organization and who's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, with the charges on this Lieutenant Brian Rice being freed of all charges.
Right.
He with was the found current climate
not guilty.
In Baltimore, expect to see more tension and problems from this verdict.
Yeah, and I will go as far as to say this. There will be additional attacks against ambushes against police officers. Not that I wish this, you know. When I say something like this, I always get emails saying, well, "Why are you wishing this on people?" I'm not. I'm just stating a fact that given the trajectory of the climate and the statements being made by Obama, being made by others, and especially being perpetuated through social media posts, which is one of the most, in my view, anyway. It's one of the most serious things taking place right now. If you take a look at the sewage that is allowed to be contained within the walls of Facebook, on the walls of Facebook, and within Twitter and other social media sites, it is as if they are inciting, working with the globalists, of course, to incite this race war. And this is exactly what we're seeing right now, a race war that's being fomented by the globalists. And again, it's between, and it's, well, just look at the origins of the genesis of Black Lives Matter. You know, it was established, 3 years ago in 2013 in response to the acquittal of, Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin. Okay. And they are stoking this black rage over this perceived injustice against black people.
They're distorting facts on the news. The
of
news
course.
Is playing a major part in this. I mentioned in the first hour the CNN anchor who called the Dallas police shooter courageous and brave.
Yeah. Where in the history of this country have you ever seen this in the past? Even in the 60s when we had the series of assassinations, and of course, RFK at Martin Luther King, we've never seen this. Of course, you've never had this operational capacity at the highest levels of our government. What we do now,
right?
We've got the organizers of Black Lives Matter, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi, who are taking, for example, that's the social networking side of Black Lives Matter. That's the kind of the what would you call it? The face or the the pretty side of Black Lives Matter, and they are in turn embracing other causes like illegal immigration, and even getting into advancing special rights for the LGBT community. Folks,
as well as CARE, as we talked about.
Right. CARE's jumping in as well, because on the other side of Black Lives Matter, you've got the Nation of Islam and Islam under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter, but you've got CARE that's also pushing their agenda into this through people like Keith Ellison and Andre Carson, who are two lawmakers here in the United States who are Muslim, indeed, black Muslims. And folks, just a little bit about Keith Ellison, in case you don't know his affiliation with different hate groups, for example, anti-Semitism, and Keith Ellison they appear to gravitate toward one another, writes Joe Kaufman back in 2007. In fact, it was the case throughout the 90s when Ellison was active in the Nation of Islam. Ellison was in the Nation of Islam, and he still facilitates, promotes that cause, or in that whole, well, and he's also active in the Council on American Islamic Relations of the Muslim American Society as well in Minnesota. So when you take a look at people like Keith Ellison.
There's an activist also, Sean King, who had taken to Twitter and stated that there will be a coup. If Donald Trump becomes president, you are fooling yourselves if you think we are far from having a coup our own selves. I'm dead serious. And the Gateway pundit points out that they say it's strange that a movement claims to want to fight injustice peacefully has a spokesman who repeatedly fantasizes about civil wars and uprisings which would lead to death and destruction. Then they make the connection saying, imagine the media's reaction a few years back if somebody from the Tea Party talked about overthrowing Obama via coup, how that would have the reaction to that, what that would have been. Versus what we're seeing today.
And this is exactly what's taking place. This is 2012. As I wrote back in 2012, in the lead up to the re-election of this renegade, as I wrote from my source saying, look, he's attempting to start a civil war, a race war. He's using, at that time, the various cases that were erupting, but apparently it wasn't fertile ground, and as well as the fact that he was a walk-in anyway for re-election. So now we're seeing, 4 years later, now we're seeing a situation where Obama is on his way out. He's got bigger plans than the presidency. He wants to leave it to Hillary, of course. There's that sentiment against Trump, who's the face of law and order, much like Reagan back in 1980, much like Nixon back in 72, if you look at history, and you look at 68, I'm sorry, Nixon. If you look at these various historical candidacies, you'll see parallels. Perhaps the biggest parallel, that being, of course, of Nixon and in the 68 election. But what we're seeing here is the amalgamation of these groups, as you said, Joe, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, never had a bigger foothold than they do today. And while we're on that topic, go back to the 28 pages that were excised from the 9/11 report that were released last week, which kind of fell off the radar, and take a look at the Saudi influence in this country. And the Saudi influence with the Bush/Rove political machinery. And by the way, Alex Jones had approached Rove at both the Dallas and Cleveland airport. And of course, Karl Rove did not care too much for that being approached by Alex Jones, and actually called the security forces on Rove in Dallas and kind of threatened Jones in Cleveland. And, You could just see the hatred by the establishment Republican in this case against Alex Jones, who is attempting to bring the truth, at least in my view, to the people. Like his tactics or not, I certainly agree with his attempts to bring out the truth, but you could see the hatred in Rove's eyes. And Alex Jones basically reached out and touched him on the shoulder, just tapped him on the shoulder, and of course Rove turned around and said, touch me again, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But you could see the hatred just oozing from his pores. But see, you've got right now the perfect storm that has been set up by Obama, and the infiltration, 8 years in the making, and in fact decades in the making, but it really advanced over the last 8 years. The Muslim infiltration into our country, into our government, into all aspects of our government. You've got the infiltration of the hate groups, real hate groups, Black Lives Matter, Nation of Islam, the different Marxist-Leninist organizations, Black Panthers Party, New Black Panthers Party. Remember, all of this all of these people and all of these groups have been around for a long time, especially the Nation of Islam, Black Panthers, and the New Black Panthers, and of course the new movement now since 2013, Black Lives Matter. They're all teaming up, and they're all coming after the American people. It's just not the police officers. The police officers, of course, are the ones that are getting killed because of ostensibly the injustices against the black person. But that's just the smokescreen that we're seeing to advance this Marxist-Leninist agenda under the umbrella of the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, under the umbrella of the Marxist-Leninist organizations, and the African Americans that are teaming up with that whole array of groups. And if you look at the roots of Black Lives Matter, of course, you'll find that they're using, or that it is essentially is a the face of a very well funded, very well organized communist socialist organization that has been agitating America for decades. It's been it's provoked police killings and other violence for decades. It's promoted violence and unrest in minority communities for decades. If this is permitted to continue, the United States could very well devolve into anarchy and civil war, which is the intent of Obama, which is the intent of the globalists as Obama leaves office. And yeah, so that, you know, there you have it. So when you look at Joe, you and I spoke with Larry Grathwall, and I think he was one of the last interviews before he passed away was with us. And for those who don't know Larry Grathwall, he was a former FBI informant in the Weather Underground
group, Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn.
That's right. And look at that. I mean, look at that.
What was it, the Park Place bombings, San Francisco? They were the Pentagon as well as New York City. Guilty as hell, free as a bird, is what Bill Ayers said as he walked out of his, found not guilty of the bombings. Well, also launched Obama's political career.
But even Larry Grathwell said that that Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn regarded Obama, whose political career they sponsored, as a tool, a puppet to use against white America. And I think his legacy, I think the legacy of Barack Hussein Obama will show that he's going to be responsible for the greatest division and disunity of America ever seen.
Yeah.
But then again, he's being facilitated not just by the leftists and by the Marxists, Leninists, progressives, but also by the establishment Republicans. And this kind of ties in and segues into the current climate in the Republican establishment. They want to their intent is globalization. And you can't have a rock-solid America and globalization at the same time. So they've got to destroy America through all means necessary. And that includes attacking, for example, not just causing civil war, but attacking our values, attacking our culture, attacking our languages, taking down our borders. And of course, this is all part and parcel of the Karl Rove machinery that Jones has exposed so well.
You take it a step further and look at what they've done with the political correctness, the quote unquote white privilege, making, you know, kids and trying to make people through social manipulation feel guilty about being born in the skin color they were born in. Basically, saying if you were born white, you are inherently racist. It's just very sad. You see, this country is falling apart at the seams, and it is a dangerous time to be young in this country. It's a dangerous time to be a police officer. It's a dangerous time to be white. It's apparently a dangerous time to be black. It's a dangerous time to be in America. And that is as Newt Gingrich said, something I agree with him on today, we've had never had more racial division in the last 100 years than we do now, and we have a black president, a black attorney general, and he went on from there. And he's right. It hasn't been as divided as it has since, I can imagine back in Civil War times. I mean, I don't know, nothing that I've ever seen in my life.
The only thing, the closest I've seen this is been, as I often refer to, is the 1960s, late 60s. And even then I was young, so I couldn't fully appreciate the impact, for example, of the assassinations. But when you start looking at this with a wide lens, wide-angle lens, you can see, for example, as I had mentioned before, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, FRSO, which is, again, a Marxist-Leninist organization, teaming up with things like the CPUSA, the Communist Party USA, with the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, and the Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism, CCDS. You've got ACORN, which is now rebranded under just a whole variety of different names. They work with all of those organizations and more. Then, as you said, you throw in the Muslim, Islamic component, which has been brought in, imported into this country. Just like white guilt has been really thrust down the throats of America, so has this xenophobia or this Islamophobia, which a word that never existed really pre 9/11 in any real sense. But you've got all of these communist groups that are the tools of the globalists that are attacking the integrity of our country. And of course, you've got the Working Families Party, which is an ACORN iteration. Occupy Wall Street. Remember these? Occupy Wall Street. And of course, the popular slogans, hands up, don't shoot, which, by the way, now has become BLM's, Black Lives Matter, their go-to slogan. But look at the roots, the communist roots of what we're seeing here. Look at the commonality between the CPUSA, the Communist Party USA, the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, the various other groups that affiliate with ACORN. Service Employees International Union, SEIU, and the people who are involved in that, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
To the George Soros' Open Society.
There you go.
Paid protesters.
There you go.
In different parts of the country.
Yeah.
It's a Van Jones model, the top down,
bottom up and inside out.
In Brzezinski, when I was on Pastor Paul Bagley's show today, I was reading through Paul McGuire's book, Mass Awakening, and stumbled across the Brzezinski quote that talked about the coming climate in this mass political awakening and how we're going to see a political awakening like never before, thanks to social engineering through the internet or via the internet.
Yep.
And there's a good and an evil to it. You have shows like Pastor Paul Bagley or our show or Russ Dizdar's show or Dr. Ted Border's show that are trying to just bring you the facts with the truth of the Lord. Then you have the other side that is gaining traction, sadly. You have people rooting for these cop killings. You have people feeling so disenfranchised that this is their only road to turn to, it seems, or this is the choice they make for whatever reason.
Yep.
And it's continuing to be engineered in a way that is a divide and conquer strategy. And they want the people so divided against themselves that they can't stand to fight anything else. And we're already there. This, as you said, and as your source said years ago, will continue to spiral out of control unless good men and women step up to stop it.
We're watching the devolving, the devolving of our society, and this is extremely sad in my view, because it can be stopped if it's recognized. The reason we go through this every night is to inform, educate, and I like to think educate anyway, to bring people the information, knowledge that can be turned into power, so you can in turn educate and inform others. This is something that I think that we need to do, because we need to understand the enemy here. The bigger enemy, of course, is the Luciferian agenda. And who's behind all of this, of course, is the satanic agenda, the Luciferian left, the people like Hillary Rodham, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, and people like George Soros. You know, you start getting into the funding. I mean, you can get into all of the various groups, and we have, but for example, with Black Lives Matter, Alicia Garza, one of the people who started Black Lives Matter. Well, Garza is actually the special projects director for the National Domestic Workers Alliance Association, all right, NDWA. All right, now think about this. The NDWA I mean, because the question anyone should ask is, who's paying for all of this? Who's paying for the protesters? Who's paying for the blocks of rooms? And we all know, hey, well, it's George Soros. Well, wait a second. It's not just George Soros. It's other organizations with other people tied into this. For example, Alicia Garza, who's this self-avowed socialist and part of the Black Lives Matter organization. She, of course, is the special projects director, as I mentioned, of the NDWA, which is the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Well, the NDWA took in $5.5 million back in 2013. The board members includes two members of Casa de Maryland, the illegals version of ACORN. All right, you see how all of this is kind of wrapping up, and all the tentacles are wrapping around these organizations. CASA also received a grant from NDWA in 2013, as did the Institute for Policy Studies. Where have we heard that before? Now, they also received funding from man, you know, I can go through this, and are you going to remember, are people going to remember all of this? Probably not. You've got millions upon millions upon millions of dollars from organizations so far left to center, politically left to center, and social left to center, but they all trace back to the communist agenda. And a lot of these, and at the root of this, or at the one of the epicenters of all of this, and think about this, the Clinton Foundation. And this is, I believe, this is one of the reasons why the Clintons has, so far have not been indicted. And I do believe the Clinton Foundation is at the center of a lot of laundering of money. This is my personal view. All right, do I have any proof of this? I don't at the moment. But as I'm looking at the Clinton Foundation, I'm seeing a lot of money coming in from other governments, especially those in the Middle East, and funding many of the movements that we referenced here, funding many of the movements that include the very same movements that are responsible for or otherwise facilitating or perpetuating this violence against police officers. And the people who are people like Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. These are the people behind the nice side of Black Lives Matter. Well, they're receiving money, of course, from these organizations. And mainstream funders have helped fund Black Lives Matter as well. United Way has partnered with A&E and iHeartMedia, for example, to create the Shining the Light Advisors, which is a committee of nationally known experts and leaders in racial and social justice, whatever that means, to grant, to oversee grant disbursements. And these advisors, who's on their board? Who are they? Who's the advisors? How about Van Jones, Advancement Project Co-Director Judith Brown Dianis, Rinku Sen, President of the Applied Research Center. Black Lives Matter's mission includes just a whole host of favored left causes.
You have them in the White House. You have them in these. They are connected politically. They are,
of course,
basically becoming a political party, even though we see the fruits of their work is violence.
But it all comes down to you're right. It's a wide network of affiliates and partner organizations. CPUSA, for example, Communist Party USA, ACORN, that allows the funding that provides the opportunity to turn out large crowds, which then provides the opportunity for the violent protests to commit violence, to loot, or just simply protest, or all of the above. And the FRSO, prominent at the Ferguson protests, had a prominent presence there, and videotaped the event, and then hosted it through other groups. if you look at FRSO organizations involved with Black Lives Matter, you can see Black Left Unity, which is a Marxist-Leninist organization that supports favored causes of the communist left, including unity with Cuba, war against capitalism, and that is also that bred Occupy Wall Street. You've got Black Workers for Justice. That's a North Carolina-based group which claims to struggle on behalf of oppressed nationalities. Then you've got Causa Justa, or Just Cause, which is a Black Hispanic society organization allied with Grassroots Global Justice Alliance, RTTC, and others. Big money in this stuff. Hands Up United. They work for the liberation of the oppressed Black person, Black, brown, and poor through education, art, and civil disobedience, advocacy, and agriculture. I can go on and on, but see, what we're seeing here is finally one person at the top, one person at the top had to really organize and orchestrate this like a conductor of the symphony. Mm-hmm. You've got all these portions of the symphony. You've got the woodwinds and the, I don't know, Eric, you're the music guy. You know, all the different kinds of woodwinds and strings and brass. And so Obama's the conductor, you know, with the little tap thing. You know, I don't know.
He could be on a string himself, but yeah, well, he's in there.
But he's the face of these groups out there, and they're all making this. They're all making this statement today. This is why, and we talked about this, Joe. This is why I believe, and we believe, that there will be additional ambushes on police. You're going to see the death total rising from 8 to 18. You're going to see, and then more. Before anything ever changes, you're going to see ultimately a cry through these attacks on police officers, a cry to alter or somehow give up the Second Amendment, or, you know, change the Second Amendment. We already saw this in Cleveland, where the police had petitioned Kasich, governor of Ohio, to suspend open carry in Cleveland, outside of the convention center. I understand the rationale behind this, but that's the wrong approach. Now, again, I value the lives of our men and women in blue. I value that tremendously. I think I am on the side of law enforcement, but I think once you start down that path, you're going down a path that's you can't go back. Once you say, well, we're going to suspend this part of the Constitution right now, because, well, there's a state of emergency. No, that's not addressing the problem. That's addressing the symptom of a problem. You've got a much bigger problem when you start talking like that. And I understand the rationale, and I understand the police officer that was on Fox News yesterday making this. He pled his case, if you watch this. I mean, he was, like, angry, and I think it was on Fox News. I had all three.
There was one on... with Don, an interview that Don Lemon did with a sheriff. I think it was a Baton Rouge sheriff. Not 100% sure on that, but it was a very tense interview, as this Don Lemon was basically backing up the Black Lives Matter and trying to make the sheriff look bad, and he kind of gave it to Don Lemon. But folks, you can find that video. I think it's all over the internet by now.
And you know, speaking of that too, to go kind of a step in another direction, but on the same, the people who are being interviewed and being showcased right now in some of the on some of the major media, whether it's Fox or MSNBC. I mean, you had Amanda Carpenter basically saying that. Now, Amanda Carpenter, by the way, it was closely linked to Ted Cruz, and reportedly had, and again, this is what's being reported now. I don't know, but reportedly had an affair with Ted Cruz. I don't know, but this is what's being reported. But Amanda Carpenter basically saying that, backing the anti-Trump protesters in Cleveland. Okay, yesterday on I believe it was Fox News, and this is a celebrated conservative voice to some. you see how this narrative is being shaped by events. You've got Donald Trump being blamed for the civil disobedience that's taking mm-hmm. place, the protests. You've got the Donald Trump being blamed for basically everything that's taking place by the people who have an agenda and are coming at him with a vengeance. And I say that in that way intentionally. But please take a look at the bigger picture here. Please take a look at how we're going, where we're going, the trajectory of our nation. Because when we see the next police shooting, and we will, you're going to see additional cries for suspension of our liberties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just understand you're being played. It's you're being gamed. It's deliberate.
Yeah.
And I said all that too. And it's interesting because the Dow opened amid all of this, amid Turkey, the global tensions and Baton Rouge and everything. What, the Dow opened today at some record high? Did I hear that right?
18,500 and some. And it maintained its value throughout the day, even though we had one of the more massive days of dollar dumping. Of treasury bond dumping since the collapse back in 2008,
right.
2009. We got news on that and also news on new Federal Reserve policies and what they're looking at in their next step plan to consolidate more economic power. But today, foreign ownership of U.S. debt was some of the highest we've seen in years, and this from Yahoo News: foreign holdings of U.S. Treasury securities fell for the second straight month in May. The Treasury Department says total foreign holdings dropped 0.5% to $6.21 trillion just after slipping 0.8% to $6.24 trillion in April. Japan, the second biggest foreign owner of Treasury securities, reduced its holdings by 0.8%. And China, the biggest investor in treasuries, increased its holdings. But the national debt is $19.4 trillion, and it is expected to continue to grow, which means the U.S. will need to, foreigners to keep buying their treasury securities. And we know where this goes. Just look at Venezuela. Over the weekend, there was 123,000 citizens of Venezuela fleeing the country to find food in the neighboring country of Colombia, and their inflation is set to top 1,600% into next year.
We can learn a lot from what we're seeing taking place in Venezuela, I believe.
Yeah.
Watch what's
they
happening.
They were an armed population 10 right. years ago. They were an oil-rich capitalist nation 15 years ago.
And socialism really took over in Venezuela. But I think as we watch the economy of Venezuela devolve and watch it tank, I think we could take lessons. What are people doing? How are they buying their food? Are there lines? Is there some sort of system that they're involved in terms of, do they have to pledge allegiance to a certain political organization? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, by the way. In order to get their food.
Yes, yeah. Yes, over 100,000 Venezuelans, some of who drove throughout the night in caravans, crossed into Colombia over the weekend to hunt for food and medicine, as they are in short supply at home. It was the second weekend in a row that Venezuelan social government opened the long-closed border with Colombia, and by 6 a.m. Sunday, a line of would-be shoppers snaked through the entire town of San Antonio del Tetra, and some traveled 10 hours to cities 10 hours away, over 120,000 people. Due to food and supply shortages,
due to the socialism that
is the head of the government's policy there. Oh goodness,
Well, Chavez. Regardless, this is, you know, the Fabian socialist model that we're seeing today. Folks, understand what is happening, and this is the intended outcome for the United States, and this is by design.
We'll be right back with Hour 3 on this Monday edition right after this.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.